The governor of California on the most important tech for fighting climate change. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. California has been a leader in environmental and energy policy for half a century. Now, the state is at war with the Trump administration over its fuel emission standards, the strictest in the nation. California has also been hit hard by climate change. Wildfires in Northern California last year killed more than 80 people and leveled 14,000 homes. Recent years have brought more fires, more extreme heat days, and historic drought. For our climate tech series, How We Survive, I talked to California Governor Gavin Newsom, and I asked him if he sees the tech industry as having a role in helping communities adapt and prevent more disasters.
It's hand in hand in California because the effects of climate change are here. They're real. I mean, just consider that since 2015, 10 of the most destructive wildfire seasons have occurred. Obviously, we need to do more to protect those communities from the ravages of the hot's getting hotter and the dry is getting drier. $1 billion, by the way, we put in this budget additional resources to invest, including suppression strategies, early detection strategies, new infrared cameras, new technology, LIDAR technology, new satellite technology. All of these things are part and parcel of our frame of engagement.
It sounds to me, not to be bloodless, but it sounds like you are describing a market for new technologies that right now venture capitalists aren't funding because they feel burned by what happened 10 years ago with green tech.
Yeah.
And, you know,
not only are we describing the opportunities for new investment, we're also coming up with new procurement strategies to test those technologies in real time. Rather than going through these processes of the state defining what we need, we're defining the problem. We're letting the private sector and tech leaders define the solutions, including, by the way, doing an XPRIZE to address the issue of early detection and suppression strategies, be that drone technologies, be it the ability to utilize open source satellite imagery and data. All of those are technology opportunities where the private sector and venture capital rightfully should invest, make some money by doing the right things and do it quickly.
I feel like the legacy of Silicon Valley is to want to solve big problems. And so there is a sense, I think, in the Valley, and maybe it's just me, that these guys should engage on climate change.
They are doing it directly through philanthropy a lot more than they are perhaps through the corporate board. And number two, they're doing it in the most profound way, and forgive me, on transportation. Autonomy foundationally is going to change the trajectory of this debate. Electric vehicle technologies and alternative fuel technologies, which will dominate and proliferate in the next few decades, that perhaps will be the most significant contribution tech will ever make. In some ways, I'm not pessimistic. I'm deeply optimistic because of the investments in R&D and the progress in technology we're already seeing.
How big a deal then is the shift to electric for those car makers and for this movement overall?
There's not one automobile manufacturer that doesn't understand where we're going. And they're making investments today for 2025, 2030. And it's exciting. They see where the rest of the markets internationally are going. They see where their growth will reside. And they recognize that consumer choice is changing. And they want to meet consumers where they are. They want to reduce costs, which ultimately is at the pump. And they want to meet consumers with the latest technology. And that means innovation in electric vehicles, but also broadly defined alternative fuel vehicles. But EVs are the game changer. The cost of batteries are dropping significantly. The technologies from a range perspective are advancing. Look, it took us 20 years to sell the first 1 million electric vehicles. It took less than 20 months to sell the second 1 million. This is sort of, I don't want to argue it's Moore's law, but you're going to see some exponential application and distribution and scale of the sales of electric vehicles in the next decade that I think will really shock those that aren't seeing the contours of this trend line today.
What are the things that only government can do?
I mean, policy. We set the rules, regulation. We incentivize good behavior, disincentivize bad behavior. We create markets, and private sector either responds to that or gets run over. And I really am proud of California and its ethos, its values that transcend the last five or six administrations. And we got to keep that going because of the existential threat that is this new reality of climate change.
A huge driver of that innovative spirit is here in California in Silicon Valley, and you're very familiar with the tech industry on a lot of fronts, having come from the Bay Area. How do you see your relationship with, I guess, what we're now calling big tech?
I've known a lot of these folks when they were little tech, and I've seen them grow into big tech, both as individuals and gotten to know the companies more broadly defined. Individuals come and go, the companies tend to persist. I've seen light in leadership. I've seen very self-centered leadership. I've seen empathy, and I've seen a deep lack of empathy. There's a deep empathy gap with some sectors of tech. And so I've seen the best and the worst up close, and not just as a California resident, not just proximate as a fifth generation San Franciscan living in the Bay Area, but as someone that quite literally has grown up with a number of these people that are sort of well-known brands in the tech world.
Since you have known the tech industry since they were little tech, and you really do have these personal relationships, do you feel like you have an opportunity in your role as sort of governor and also friend of the industry sometimes to push them?
I mean, and the answer is yes, but I got to say, behind the scenes, I can, you know, you go to Google X or someplace like that, and there's a lot of exciting and enlivening things that are in the leading and cutting edge that are in their dormancy right now and then are going to be made visible in ways that I think could give people sort of calm their nerves that the tech industry is not, quote unquote, doing enough. But I will say, on the philanthropic side, at least, without exception, the thrust of most of the investments most of these major founders are focused on is in this space. I just had, as an example, the privilege of sitting down with Bill Gates, and the entire purpose of the conversation was his doubling down on his commitment in the climate change space. And he's doing it through his philanthropic arm to create market incentives and take a business mindset to making the kind of green tech investments without worrying about the ROI, but investing in an entrepreneurial mindset to solving some of these problems. So I'm seeing a lot more. That gives me a lot more confidence that the tech industry, including on drawdown technologies, carbon drawdown technologies, is a lot further along than many of us may actually believe.
Yeah, I mean, how important is energy? Batteries are the whole ball game.
Yeah.
In electric vehicles and otherwise, but also sort of energy independence, this idea of decentralization as a resilience strategy, yeah. Really.
Well, we're about to announce that we've invested and actually installed our millionth solar roof. Talk about intermediation, this sort of notion of disaggregation and distributed energy. And so the way we can scale that to the next level is doing two things. Implement the new rules and standards that all new construction will require solar on the roof by January 1st, 2020. And number two, make sure we have adequate storage and meet the technology call provide that storage at the kind of scale that's needed to ultimately radically reimagine our grid. So California, again, from a policy perspective, is creating the market incentives for companies to invest in that space. I don't know that most folks are familiar with this, but we have 5 times more green energy jobs in California than fossil fuel jobs, 5 to 1. And we're one of the most dominant fossil fuel economies in America, California, and 5 to 1, we are outperforming the fossil fuel industry. So, you know, the old adage, fresh air of progress versus a stale air of normalcy. We see the future, and we want to do well there, which means you got to invest in the future. Trump sees the past, and he's not interested in investing in the future. He is not going to do very well there.
Gavin Newsom is the governor of California. And now for some related links. Now, we actually talked with Governor Newsom before the Trump administration revoked California's ability to set its own emission standards, which is likely to be a legal battle that will not be settled by the time this podcast is over. But I wanted to play you just a little more on why Newsom feels that overhauling transportation is so critical to trying to mitigate climate change. Here's part of that interview.
This is a deep example of technology at scale. Because at the end of the day, it requires new technologies to reduce increase efficiency and reduce greenhouse gas emissions and to reduce the costs at the pump. And there's no greater space to do it than the number one contributor of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States of America, and that's transportation. In California, it's 37% of our challenge. And so if you want to be big, you got to be big in big things. If we're going to be big in terms of addressing the issue of climate change, then you have to deeply focus on this sector, which is a technology commitment. It's innovation and entrepreneurial spirit that will allow not just us to compete vis-a-vis other states, but compete internationally, because the rest of the world, they're already moving in this direction. China's already made a commitment. They're eliminating the internal combustion engine by 2040. India went further, saying we're going to do it by 2030. They made a compact with Japan. The rest of the world's moving in this direction. That's why these automobile manufacturers, every single one of them, get it. But only four have publicly stated that, because of the threats. And I'll just call it like it is. The direct threats of the Trump administration threatening their business model, threatening them with tariffs, threatening the CEOs of private companies to do his bidding, which seems to be limited perhaps to his very linear view of the world, which seems to be more in line with the oil company's interests than anybody else's.
The climate policy think tank Energy Innovation says transportation emissions are the biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions, not just in California, but in the U.S., and have been for the last 3 years. The think tank has an analysis piece in Forbes last week that said eliminating the emissions waiver in California could lead to a 4% increase in emissions in that state, and a total increase of 10% once you include all the states that currently have stricter emissions policies than the federal government. Oh, and that if cars get less fuel efficient or their standards don't improve, that could cost consumers something like $160 billion in additional fuel costs. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace Tech helps you stay sharp on all things related to technology and the economy. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you donate today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a different Marketplace quote, yours for just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.